The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ask John Call-In Deck. This is an open question and answer session where you can call in and speak to me directly or simply listen live on the audio player on the webpage. If you've called in and have questions, press 1 to raise your hand. If you're listening on the audio player on the webpage, you'll see a box where you can type in questions. Feel free to enter your questions there as well. These sessions are all about you, and this is your opportunity to call in and speak to me live, and let me work with you to help you solve your weight loss problems forever. So if you've got something you want to talk about, please give us a call. Cool. So welcome, everyone. Yeah, if you want to talk to me, call the number that's on the screen and press 1. You need to press 1. And we can chat. This is our last question and answer session for the new year and the new year. So I'm really happy to answer whatever questions you have. I'll just say also, just right off the bat, that this doesn't have to be the end for us in terms of working together, being together. We can work with you at whatever level of support that you need. Many of you are members of our support group, and we've got a monthly support group where we have tons and tons of resources, hundreds of hours of Ask John question and answer sessions and interviews and coaching sessions. We have weekly live coaching sessions with some of our coach specialists. And we also have regular Ask John shows where you can call in and talk to me in those shows. So that's a good resource for you if you want to continue to stay in touch. If you need more coaching, we have a couple of levels of coaching. We've got the Total Transformation Coaching Experience, where you can work with a coach twice a month. And then we have the Ultimate Coaching Experience, where you can work with a couple of specialists and a coach, and also speak to me up to 4 days a week if you wanted to. So we'll give you as much support as possible. You also have access to this members area for life. So you always have this members area, which includes the private Facebook group. So you can reach out to us anytime you have questions in the Facebook group, or share, or revisit the visualizations and the resources and the action steps, and go at your own pace. Go as slow or long as you want. This is a process. What we've done is we've put you in a direction of transformation that can continue and continue to expand for the rest of your life. You can take as much time as you need. We took 5 weeks to introduce the concept because that's a good amount of time to help you create positive habits. But the transformation can go on for months and years, really. This is about transforming your body from the inside out by having healthier foods and healing your digestion and detoxifying your body and reducing stress and working through emotional issues and all these different ways. You're able to heal yourself from the inside out, turn off your fat programs, reduce the stresses that are causing your body, tricking your body into activating your fat programs, start to crave healthier foods, heal other issues in your life, physical, mental, and emotional. And really help and give you the tools to help you successful in every area of your life. So you can take as much time as you need in this program, and we're always here. In the meantime, I will bring Nadia in to answer whatever questions are she's gotten over the last 48 hours in the chat role. And then if you want to have a chat with me, I'm here. So let's bring Nadia in.
Hi, John.
Hey, Nadia. How you doing?
Hi, I'm really good. Thanks. How are you doing today?
Yeah, great. Cool.
Great. There are some questions coming in already. Margie
yes.
is in the chat role, and she says,
yeah.
I'm a slave to the scale. Even though John says to
yes.
throw the scale away, I'm too excited
yeah.
to, quote, check on my progress. How can I stop this?
Yeah. Hi, Margie, and thanks for texting in. And, the scale is an interesting thing because it can fluctuate a lot and it has no indication of how well you're doing or little indication. you could have drunk a couple of glasses of water, or have be retaining more water weight, or you haven't done a bowel movement, and that's two or three. That could be end up being a pound, two, maybe 3 pounds right there. The scale could be off. Lots of different variables. And the problem with the scale is that we place our emotional well-being on that number. So that is a great habit to try to break. And what I would do is just give yourself a couple of months of just focusing on really, really healing right now. The more you focus on healing, the more the weight comes off as a consequence. Just if you can, just give yourself at least a month to just forget about the scales and just focus on healing as much as possible. And hopefully by that time you'll forget all about it. Your clothes will be getting looser, and people will start to comment and say, "Oh, you're looking great," and you'll know when it's happening, and then you kind of get a feel for your body, and you get to know when you're doing well or not based on how hungry you are and the types of foods you're craving, how much you eat when you do eat, how often you're hungry, your energy levels, and all these different ways you get a feel for what's going on in your body. And you start to pay more attention to that than the scale number. So it would be a really, really great one to break. And I say just give yourself a month at least. Totally leave it alone for a month, and then hopefully you will have broken that that pattern. Yeah?
Great. Yeah, thanks, John. Bernadette is wondering about a recommendation for a good juicer, something that produces good quality juice, yeah, but still easy to use, yeah, and clean.
Yeah, Huron is a really good one. I think it's called a Huron Omega, which is a cold-pressed juicer, so it extracts all the nutrients without destroying them. It's easy to clean. I don't think it's that expensive. It's somewhere in the $250 to $350 range. So I like that one. Nadia, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that. You might have a recommendation also.
Well, the juicer that I use, I have had for more than 20 years, and it's still on the market, still for sale. It's called the Kempo juicer. It's very similar to the Champion juicer. It's one of those twin gear masticating juicers. In terms of cleaning it, it does take, I already chatted with Bernadette a little bit, it does take a little bit of effort to clean. But we can really do our juice in about 20 minutes, from chopping up the vegetables to drinking the juice and having everything cleaned.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, you can check that out. It's called a Kempo, is it, Nadia?
Kempo, K-E-M-P-O, Kempo juicer.
Okay, yeah.
Kempo green tower.
Okay. And then also, Bernadette, check out the Omega Huron one, too. I think that you might enjoy that one.
Yeah. Manuela is wondering about, in the last class, you mentioned about drinking veggie broth, all green veggies. And she was just wanting a bit more clarification on that. She's wondering, do you eat the veggies? Do you blend it? Do you just drink the water? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So I don't eat, there are uses for the veggies. I strain them out and I just drink the actual broth. And Nadia, I'm going to talk to you about some of the uses for the veggies in a second, because I think you have some good uses for it. I don't actually use them just simply more of laziness than anything, but there are some really good uses for it. But I strain that out and just have the broth. So it's mostly greens, things like celery and kale. I usually use some fennel, some bok choy, some spinach, some scallions. As cilantro, parsley, basil. I just throw everything that's green in there to fill the whole pot with the greens, then fill the whole pot with some filtered water, bring it to a boil, then turn the heat down, let it simmer for a couple of hours. Anytime during the process, add lots of healthy salt and cayenne pepper to taste. Let it cool, bottle, and then strain it and bottle it into mason jars. You want to fill the mason jars all the way up because if there's oxygen in the mason jars or air, the veggies won't last as long. They'll oxidize. So if you fill the mason jars, those glass jars, up all the way up, put them in the fridge, and I use a big pot. I usually get about 15 liters, 15 to 20 liters, and it'll last me a week to 2 weeks. And I drink them cold most of the time, and sometimes I drink them hot. But it's just such a great way to go throughout the day. You just feel so nourished and hydrated, and it is definitely my favorite go-to at the moment. And if you put the right amount of seasoning, specifically the right amount of healthy salt and cayenne pepper, it becomes really, really nice. If you don't put enough, it'll be bland. So you got to get the seasoning right. Go ahead, Nadia.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say that if your broth is bland at the time when you're drinking it, you can even add in a little bit more cayenne pepper and Himalayan salt.
You can put in some onion powder or garlic powder too, as long as it's a healthy variety of that. That's kind of nice. And then you got something really, really nice. The veggies, you can dry them, you can squeeze them out, dry them, I know Nadia, we've talked about this a couple of times in the detox class that you make dehydrated veggie crackers out of them. Is that correct?
I actually don't make my crackers out of the leftovers from the broth. I use the leftovers from my green juice to make the crackers.
Okay.
So when I make a green juice out of my juicer, the pulp that's left over, I'll use that to make crackers. When I make my broth soup, I use a nut milk bag actually to squeeze every last bit out, and then I compost the remainder of it. I don't usually do anything with that. Since it's already cooked, I don't use it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I haven't really found a good use for it, but that's right. The remains from the juicer is what you talked about that you can use to make veggie crackers, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah. There's another question from Jacqueline. Her question is, what's the best way to keep emotional triggers calmed down, not causing you to turn to food? I do the visualization as often as I can. Sometimes I still feel the need for unhealthy food, and it scares me.
Yeah. Yeah, so meridian tapping is really good. So we've got that documentary film, which I think is in the members area now, Tapping for Weight Loss. And I'd love for you to check it out and learn meridian tapping because it's a great on-the-spot type of tool that you can use. And it's real, real simple. Also, the 10th annual Tapping World Summit is happening right now as we speak. It's free to join. We are sending an email about it in the next day or two. You just click the link and join. It starts next week. And it features 10 different interviews, 2 interviews a day on how to use tapping for different things, stress reduction and meditation. I think I'm speaking on day 5 of that course. So check that out too. But meridian tapping is really, really great for on the spot when you are feeling anxious and anxiety and emotions are coming up to resolve that. And then also, If those emotions are translating into junk food cravings, try having some kind of healthy snack first to stabilize your blood sugar. And that combination between tapping and eating something healthy first might get you to a place where you're not having the junk food cravings. Because part of the junk food cravings that you're having may be from low blood sugar. Because when your blood sugar falls low, you become more irritable. But you're also craving junk, and you're attributing the junk food cravings to the emotions. But I'm saying it's possible that the emotions may be coming from the low blood sugar, and so are the junk food cravings. So notice what time of day also that happens, and if it happens at a specific time of day, like 3:30 in the afternoon, then know that you typically get a low blood sugar episode around that time and have that stress reduction break that we talk about and that we've talked about in class 3, where in the afternoon, a half an hour before you typically get that low blood sugar episode, you're eating something to keep your blood sugar stable that's healthy and maybe listening to a visualization. And I would add maybe doing some tapping to that. But try that combination, and in real time, that could work really well for you. Hey, Nadia, I might just take we have a caller, Maury from Connecticut. I might just take her, and then I'll come back to you in a little bit.
Sounds great, John. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Nadia. Okay. Can we speak to Maury?
Hi, John. Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Maury.
I just
nice
have a question on getting myself more motivated to actually move and exercise. The job that I have, I sit at my desk all day. I work from home, and I sit at my desk all day. And the most exercise I get is running up and down the stairs, for lunch and, that kind of thing, and it's just very comfortable to sit all day. I did get one of those desks that you can raise up so I can stand for a few hours each day too, but other than that, I just can't seem to really get motivated even after listening to some of the visualizations, so getting the Get Thin one.
So
more I could try to focus on too.
Let me get a little bit more background about you first. So how old are you? How old are you?
59.
How much weight are you looking to lose? Yeah. And how much weight are you looking to lose?
I would say about 40 pounds at least.
And how long have you had a weight issue?
Probably about, most of my life. Well, I would say my early 20s I started really putting weight on.
Okay. And was there a trigger when that happened in your early 20s that you know? Like, what was going on in your life?
I was in the Air Force then, and I did get married. I had a child, and had another moved, had another child, and then during that my divorce, his main reason was, you're fat. I don't want to be married to someone who's fat.
Right.
I did lose about 30 or 40 pounds after that, after we got divorced, because I had to. I had no car. I had to walk everywhere. And
all right.
And I do exercise. And I have to say, when I was growing up, I was called, my nickname was Twiggy. I was very thin. It just seemed like after that it started.
But I still want to go back to when, in your early 20s, if I can, when you started gaining weight before the incident with your husband. What was going on in your life when you started? What were you doing when you started gaining weight? Were you in college? Were you in the Air Force? Did you graduate from high school? What age did you start gaining weight? I'm asking this just so you know, even though you asked me a really specific question, but I feel like I need to give you a more real answer that's based on what's really going on inside you. Because the reasons why we're not motivated to exercise is because we've got some issue that's causing our body, our fat programs to get activated, our body to want to hold on to weight. And I want to talk about that issue, because if I can address that issue better, you are going to have more energy, more motivation. So that's why I'm going down this road and not just saying to you, hey, you know, wake up every morning and put your sneakers on and get out there. You know, like I want to get to the real issue. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool.
I would say my whole life growing up until my 20s, I was doing gymnastics. I was always very fit. And I don't really know what stopped it. I really don't really know, other than I just grew up with something. I was away from home, that kind of thing.
Well, that could be a big one too. But when did you stop doing gymnastics?
When I left high school, when I stopped. You know, I didn't go to college or anything. I just went into the Air Force. I think it probably was during when I got married. I think.
When
I started to put weight on and didn't.
Okay.
Ever really get it off again. I mean, I did one time. I lost like 40 pounds one time and then gained it back again.
Okay. So, are you in a relationship now?
Yes.
And is that relationship supportive of where you are in terms of your weight, or is the weight issue coming up?
Yeah, he has no problems with my weight. Of course, when I do say I'm trying to diet, he just rolls his eyes, says, yeah.
Okay. And when you gained the weight, did you gain it gradually or did you gain it suddenly?
No, it was kind of gradual.
Okay.
Probably in the last 20 years, I've probably put 20 pounds on.
Okay. Well, and when was the last time, in the last 20 years, you put 20 pounds on? I see. Is your weight stable now?
Yeah, I've been this weight for probably at least 10 years.
Okay. And when you say you're, so going back to the exercise question now, when you say you're running up the stairs, are you doing that for exercise, or are you doing that just out of life, you know, you got to run up the stairs to do something? Or are you doing that specifically as an exercise?
I'm trying to at least do that, at least run.
I see.
I live in a two-story home, so it's just, my office is upstairs, so.
Okay.
I just try to get as much, but, you know, going down, I can't. Because now I've noticed through at 59, my knees are starting to bother me.
Yeah. So what's coming to me sort of intuitively, if I can, is, you know, what keeps coming back is your first marriage. Because mm-hmm. that's when you started gaining weight, and then, you know, to have your husband say, you know, I don't want to be with you because you gained weight, is kind of traumatic. And I can almost kind of feel it in your voice when you're saying that. That there's something in that, just revisiting that and trying to work through whatever the issues were, whatever the pain was, whatever the emotions are that come up, working through that experience, I feel like is going to give you some more energy. I feel like there's something there that's still dragging you down, because whatever caused you to gain weight when you were in the marriage, and then to have him leave is a traumatic and stressful experience, and I know it doesn't sound like it's affecting your it's at play in your relationship now, which is great, but I do feel it's painful. And it's kind of weighing you down mm-hmm. a little in an unconscious way. And because there's something, like as I'm talking to you, I feel like there's something that's keeping you kind of like tired or weighing you down a little bit. And it might be the emotional component that we just talked about. So I'd love for you to explore that, maybe through the tapping, you know, mm-hmm. through this Tapping World Summit, or through watching the Tapping for Weight Loss documentary that we did. Watch that and then go through that process of what you feel, what you feel and what comes up through that whole marriage experience, and see if you start to have more energy.
Okay.
And then the other thing I would suggest on a more practical note is that you get a stationary bike and you put it right next to your desk.
Okay.
And every once in a while you just sit on it and you, what's that?
I've actually thought about that too.
Yeah. So let's get real practical for 1 second. So I want you, like, even if you can get the stationary bike so that you can actually look at your work that you're doing, and I just want you to spin for 5 minutes. No effort, just spin for 5 minutes. And then once you've spun the bike for 5 minutes, if you feel up to it at that point, or you feel inspired or warmed up, Do like a couple of 10 or 20 second sprints over the next 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'd love for you to do push-ups on your hands and knees.
Okay.
So, you know, for like another minute, another minute or two.
Okay.
And I'd love for you to do that in the morning, 3 days a week before you've eaten. If you can, or if that doesn't work, just whenever you want to take your break from work.
Mm-hmm.
Just start with that. But I want you to do the emotional work first, because I feel like it's going to like kind of take the emergency break off. You know, take the break off of things a little. I feel like it's going to lighten you up and give you a little bit more spring and free you up a little bit. Because what you just described is pretty significant. I mean, anyone mm-hmm. going through that would feel a lot of trauma. So I want you to work through that, and then just do this that I'm mentioning, and you might want to be inspired to sit on the bike again later in the day. You could have days where you do that a couple of times during the day, and then rest days. You know, I don't want you to do that every day, but on the days that you're doing mm-hmm. it, you could do it 2 or 3 times a day, and it would be fine, as long as you have rest days afterwards.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Cool. So let's talk to Farah in San Francisco.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. Hi, Farah. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
I put my question actually in the Facebook group, and you kind of answered me, but I really felt I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah,
and,
sure. That's why I'm here.
So I have been yo-yo dieting from 2009, and that's
yeah.
the year that I know what is the source. I know the source is
yeah.
I got laid off that year,
yeah.
and I got it
yeah.
very personal, and I didn't feel safe after that, and I felt I'm
mm.
not enough. And right when I was in the layoff, actually, I went into a romantic relationship, And interesting enough that in that relationship also, I never felt I'm enough. And at the time, I was very in shape. But he was always telling me, like, you are fat, you're fat. But I was not. I was on my normal weight and everything. So that added to that. And right after that, I started keep gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight. All of that. And at this point of my life, like suddenly in the last 6 months, like I gained 25 pounds. So right now I'm overweight about 40 to 50 pounds.
Yeah.
But I gained 25 pounds of it in the last, I can say, maybe 4 months. So my question, this is a very specific question from you. And my question is, well, I'm doing the program with you, and I am feeling a little bit better. Like, I don't eat that much junk food anymore. I don't crave that much anymore, junk food and all of that. But there is this urge to lose all the 40 or 50 pounds because I have, like, two very immediate family weddings coming up in the next 2.5 months. And I really feel bad with my body. I feel ashamed with my body, the way I look, because I can't wear anything. So now I have this urge to go into this diet that, like, you lose 20 pounds in 4 weeks or whatever. And then, but I don't know what to do. But my heart is telling me, oh, I already know those are junk food. But then my other part of me telling me it's okay, just go do the quick fix and at the same time simultaneously do the visualization and John's program. So I don't know. I want to talk to you about it.
Let me just back up a second before I answer your question and get some background from you also. Did you say that over the last 4 months you've gained about 25 pounds. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know what the cause of that was, what's going on, what the trigger was? Because it sounds like, you know, since 2009, you might have gained 20 pounds, and then all of a sudden you've just gained another 25 pounds. Do you know what was happening?
Yeah, because since 2009, I was gaining but then losing, gaining and losing. But in the last 3 months, I completely was careless. I was like, I don't care, I'm tired from life. I don't care about it anymore. Yeah. I don't care about anything anymore, and I want to eat anything I want. So basically, the last month, I can tell that I was not eating any protein. I was only eating pasta and bread, and I was absolutely careless. And I was like, I'm tired of this life and all of that.
Yeah. And where are you now? Do you still feel that same way, that you just felt like, you know, you don't care type of thing, or where are you now with that?
I still feel extremely tired, and I still don't care, but for some reason, your voice, because I listened to your to maybe 10 of your different visualizations per day, and I keep re-listening to your calls again and again, like multiple times during one day.
Mm.
So basically, your voice is specifically in my head. So I don't have any more desire to go. Like when I go to have food at work, they give us food. I automatically cannot go to the pasta bar anymore, and I automatically cannot eat bread anymore at all. And I am eating salad and chicken with my own dressing, which is olive oil and lemon juice.
You might lose that weight already then, if that's where you're going. You don't have to do this like crash diet type of thing. It looks like you've turned the corner already. So I would give yourself some time with what you're doing right now. I feel like, you know, if that's what you're telling me right now, that's gonna have a huge and immediate effect on your body. So I would give yourself a little bit of time. That the protein shake diet that you put in the Facebook group, that's really, really junk. If you want to have, you know, if you want to take the principles of eating mostly protein or healthy fats or not carbs or whatever, that's great. But that specific application, of it, I think, is gimmicky and can cause mm-hmm. more problems, even in the short term, not to mention the long term. Whereas right now, you know, you're in a good place. I mean, you're in a really, really good place. If all you've been doing is eating nothing but pasta, now you can't, and bread, now you can't eat it anymore. You're eating, you know, this healthy chicken with your own dressing and all this stuff. You got to give yourself a little chance right now. And visualize, you know, if you're doing these visualizations, visualize being at the wedding and being at your perfect ideal shape and everybody's saying, oh, my God, you look so beautiful and you're just radiant and gorgeous and, you know, everything that you want. Visualize that happening right now as you're doing the visualizations and visualize the process from now till then where the weight's melting off and you're craving healthier and healthier foods. You've done the work already. You know, it's time for you to reap the benefits. You're already, I think you need to acknowledge, you know, for yourself how far you've come in a very short period of time, in like a month, where, you know, you're in this place where you're naturally craving healthy foods. That's tremendous. I'm concerned that if you go into some kind of program, it's going to create that whole yo-yo diet mentality for you and at a time when you're just in such a beautiful place. So at least give yourself a couple of weeks, you know? Give yourself a couple of weeks right now where you're doing what you're doing and visualize the weight's just melting off of you and you're at the wedding and everybody's commenting on how fabulous you look and you feel amazing. And just give yourself a week or two first and see how things are going. Because you're in a really good place right now. You don't even realize it.
Okay, awesome. And one thing is very weird for me is every time I listen to your visualizations, like the safe and healthy or I deserve any of them, I don't know why I constantly keep crying. Like I visualize like my face is melting and everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know if something good or bad.
Crying is good. Crying is healing. Crying means you've made a huge emotional breakthrough, and that's what I think you're doing right now. I think you're transforming. You're breaking through emotional barriers and things that have kept you stuck, and reconnecting with self-love and self-acceptance and feeling enough and all these things. So I think it's fabulous. Where you are is in a really, really fabulous place. I feel that strongly, and I would just love for you to keep going with what you're doing right now, because you're a part of the bell curve that grows exponentially in terms of how healthy you are and how the weight loss comes off and types of foods you're craving and the amount of energy that you have. You're in a really good place. So give yourself a little bit of time and use those. Let yourself cry because it's beautiful and healing, and visualize yourself at that wedding and everything working out beautifully.
Okay, awesome. And the last question is, I know this is the last week for us.
Yes.
But after that... So do you still have to ask John, like, is it once a month?
Yeah, in the support group, mm-hmm. Not in the new year, but in the support group, I've asked John's once a month. And we've got, you know, over 100 Ask Johns that you can listen to that are in there, as well as everything. It's just such a resource. So, you know, that's a great place to stay connected.
Okay, but there would be no more core classes.
For the new you, this is the last class for the new you in the new year. We will be doing in the support group. We have weekly classes. I have my class once a month, and then we've got weekly classes with other coaches and lots of other resources. So that's where you can continue to speak with us and work with us and connect with us.
Okay, so besides once a month, Ask John, you also have once a month core class?
No, there's no core. In a support group, there's no core classes. There's weekly coaches that do their classes. Those are live classes that our coaches do each week. We have about 7 or 8 of our coaches do classes, and at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, they do a live class.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But with you, it's going to be once a month, and it would be something like this. Like people call and ask questions.
It's exactly like this, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you and every single thing you're doing.
I
would be in the support group. And.
Yeah, well, my pleasure. And I really am happy with where you're at. And so keep doing what you're doing, because it's going to be like, I think you're going to be surprised at how quickly your body's going to start transforming. From based on what I know and working with people and what you've told me right now, you're in a really, really good place. And so I'm really happy about that.
Thank you. I'm very happy too. And I will talk to you again in the support group.
Okay. Sure. Excellent.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Sure. Cool. So let's talk to Jacqueline in Tennessee, please.
Hi, John. Thank you for taking my call. I was
my
very
pleasure.
Apprehensive
Hi.
Having the call. Also, I'm
sure.
not one to ask for help, which is like very out of
yeah.
my comfort zone.
Sure. Well, thanks
part
for
my
calling.
Issues, I know we were chatting. Well, no, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I have always been heavy my entire life, and I do programs and I might lose 5-10 pounds and I get stuck.
Yeah.
And it has been a huge battle and something I've been focusing on forever, and I'm just at a loss, and I really have done
sure.
numerous different things. So I've done the Meridian tapping.
Yeah.
I've gotten the Jessica
yeah.
Ortner's tapping. That's how I found out about you way, way back when. So I've been
yeah.
like keeping up with different things, and I've read your book, and so I don't know if I just know I have to get this off, and I just don't know what else to do.
Sure. Let me ask some questions, if I could, just so I get a little
sure.
bit more information. Okay, so how old are you?
I'm 49.
Okay, and any signs of menopause or been through menopause? Or?
No. No, not yet.
Okay. Any? Are you on any medications?
Just thyroid medicine. Synthyroid.
And is it what? Is 300 MCG. Slow thyroid or?
Super slow.
What's with your
yes.
time?
I passed out okay. driving when I was 18, and by God's grace got to, they didn't know how I was living because my TSH was 69 at the time.
Okay. And how much weight are you looking to lose?
Realistically, 150 pounds.
And have you been treated for sleep apnea?
Yes, I have a CPAP machine.
A CPAP machine? Okay. And how long have you had the CPAP machine?
Since my daughter would be 13 years this March.
Okay. And is your weight stable or gaining or losing or what?
It yo-yos pretty much.
Yeah.
I've not lost the major bunch of weight. I did do like a protein drink diet myself for a bit, and
yeah.
I lost about 45 pounds, and it came back with a vengeance when
yeah.
I started going back to eating just food again. So, but I haven't
yeah.
lost anything
so,
since.
Okay, and you say, and when you say you've been heavy all your life, let me really zero in on that. What are we talking about from the moment you were born?
I was born 10'8".
To, yeah.
I was born 10'8". I was born 10 pounds, 8 ounces.
Yeah.
And I was told that I drank milk by the gallons when I was very little. My grandmother
yeah.
tried to get me off milk because she thought I was gaining too much weight. And and then it's been like that way my whole life. And any picture I've never seen myself in. So when it says picture yourself at the ideal place,
yeah.
I don't even have an image of me looking that thin. So I think that could be part of my issue because I've never
yeah.
been a normal size.
Yeah. And your food cravings, do you crave typically?
More on the starch,
like
not
yeah.
sliced
yeah.
bread, but like if I'm at a restaurant,
yeah.
like the hotter breads, that's probably more of it. I've suffered a tremendous amount of tragedies at very young ages.
Tell me what ages those were. What age were we talking about?
I was 11. My first one,
yeah.
we were in a horrendous car accident. I told my brother to drop dead. We fought who was going to sit where in the car, and he died. And
yeah.
everyone else in the accident was severely injured. I walked away with no problem. So it was tremendous
yeah.
guilt at that point.
Yeah.
And then
sure.
I lost another brother, and he was 37, to a massive heart attack. So I'm the only child left of parents that have been grieving forever. I had severe complications with my daughters. I was blessed with twin daughters after told I could never have children, and a week later found out I was pregnant, and I thought I was miscarrying, and they told me I was having twins. My water broke at week 24. I was hospitalized for 77 days till they were born, and then I had to have three surgeries afterwards because I was septic from the hospital.
Let me just go back to when you were 11. Like, how much of a weight issue did you have when you were 11?
I was still heavy. I was always the heaviest kid, even starting from what I can remember from even pictures of me in kindergarten. I was heavy. So I was never in like the normal size clothes. And then I got heavier after that, of course.
Yeah, when you say you got heavier after that, was there an acceleration of it after that event that happened?
I'm sure I had to raise my 4-year-old brother because my parents lost it. So whatever an 11-year-old can cook, I took over the whole household because I felt to be blamed for my brother's death. So lots of guilt, lots of shame, and I guess I was hiding myself under weight.
Do you think that that's the case? The only reason I feel that it's definitely a contributing factor, and I'm just wondering what you think, how much of a contributing factor it is, because you all, as you said, you already were struggling with weight to some extent before it happened, yeah?
Yes, I was always heavier, and then after that, it just bloomed more, and so I just kind of was, the people pleaser for everyone else. And still to this day, I pretty much am like that too. So
let me ask you about that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. You go ahead. Answer the question. Yeah, you go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. That's all I was saying. I just I interrupted you.
So right now, your life right now. How old are your twins?
We are 12.
And what's going on with your life as far as being a people pleaser, or is it easy, hard raising them? Like, what's happening?
They're pretty decent, good girls. Just the average going into teenagehood. I work tremendous hours. Besides that, so I don't really do much downtime for myself either. So I've always worked, so I don't know anything else to do.
And you have do you have a husband? Do you have other means
of
support?
Yes.
Do you have? No.
I'm married.
So are you are you supporting the family, or is he?
We co-support. We both are working parents.
Okay. And is there any opportunity for you to take some time and kind of like slow down a little bit on the work side of things?
No, because I have my own practice, so I by myself there.
Okay. I feel like, I really want you actually to schedule the one-on-one call that we have. Sooner rather than later, because I just feel like there's some things that I'd want to discuss with you more personally that are coming to me and put you go a little bit deeper on some of the issues that you're experiencing right now. I'd love for you to be a little bit patient, and as much as you can, adopt the principles. Are you able to listen to a visualization at all in the morning?
Oh yes, I listen. I wake up earlier in the morning. I do the morning, I do midday, and I do even before I go to bed every night. So yes, I've been doing those. Okay. I've been doing some rituals for myself. Yes.
Have you noticed any difference since you've been doing that in your cravings, for example? You crave less bread, you have more energy. Any kind of differences at all?
Yes, I'm actually calmer. I feel a little bit more at peace with myself, and I'm not craving as much as I was asking about like triggers, because there's just get bombarded in a lot of different directions that sometimes it's just. It's always been my escape too, I think, in the past also.
Yeah.
So, but I've been really diligently working on it, and I'm hoping it's just not too late and I'm stuck how I am, because I know there's got to be something to unlock with this, and I do not want to do bariatric surgery at all. So
yeah. Okay.
I work out.
Well,
I've switched over.
All right. Well, if you're noticing some differences, then that's really I'm optimistic, because one of the things that I'm getting from you is that with all the weight that you're carrying, you know, and with twins and with working, and especially with, you know, the guilt, which then caused you to become a people pleaser, which pushes you even harder, and takes the focus away from focusing on yourself. You know, because when you carry that kind of guilt, you know, so you don't feel worthy. I'm just putting, it's not exactly this, but, you know, you want to focus, you feel like you don't want to give yourself any time. You want to help everybody else because you're kind of carrying this whole guilt around what you did and judgment around it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. I would agree 100%. I've come to that conclusion.
Yeah. So I feel like in order for you to turn this around, there is some more emotional work that needs to be done. And specifically around the guilt. And there is something, some very specific things that I want to tell you that I don't want to tell you in this call. That I think might make sense to you. But what needs to happen is you need to get to a place where you feel worthy of giving yourself more time, more space, more freedom, to be able to relax. You know, because when you're carrying all that extra weight and there's all that extra stress and you never have a chance to focus on yourself, when all those things are happening at once, it's a difficult situation to unlock. And in order to unlock it, you are going to have to come to a place where you are really comfortable saying, you know what, I need some more time. I need some more space. I need to focus more on, I need to relax more, focus more on me. And there's some emotional work that needs to be done for that. But I feel like, in the meantime, if you can listen to the visualizations and just carve out a little bit of time for yourself to relax, even just take naps if you can, 10, 20-minute naps during the day, whenever you can, in the afternoons, whatever.
I have severe insomnia on top of that.
Yeah.
I have severe insomnia.
I feel the whole scenario. And in order to unlock it, we've got to really reduce some of these stresses, and that's a huge stress. So I would love for you to take some naps in the afternoons in the meantime. You know, even if you took a nap, like even if it was 10 minutes, you lie down for 10 minutes and just imagine every cell of your body saying, I love you. The four affirmations that we talk about a lot, if you can write them down, you can imagine the way to do it is, we've talked about this a couple of times, so the way to do it is to imagine every cell of your body at the same time saying the words, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. It's like you've got 70 trillion cells. They all have, they all have little mouths, and they're all going, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. It's a really, really big one for you. And as a matter of fact, the one thing that I'd like to leave you with, like what's different about this call, is I would love for you to spend 10 minutes in the afternoon, whenever you can, lying down on your bed, holding your pillow and saying, or imagining the cells of your body saying those four affirmations over and over again.
Okay.
Let's start there.
Okay, I can do that. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I appreciate
and
it
I do,
so much.
I do have, yeah, and I do have some more information for you that I'd like to impart to you when we get a chance, okay? So let's please talk again.
Okay, thank you, sir.
In our one-on-one call.
Thank
okay?
you, finally.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Yes.
All right, take care. Okay.
Bye-bye, sir.
Cool. So let's talk to Tammy in Maine, please.
Hi, John. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, I'm an alumni from the 2017 New Year, New You, and I absolutely love your program. I love all your coaches and your team. My problem now is I've been working. I went to Omega last summer. And it was absolutely amazing. And I hooked up I started doing some Ziva meditation with Emily Fletcher's program. And I've been working with Melinda since October doing cellular release. What I'm finding is I have a situation a living situation here where I take care of a friend that doesn't have any family who has stage 4 cancer. And we're going into year 4. He was fine for a while. He was in a clinical trial. It was very stressful. There's been a lot of clearing around that type of trauma. He's starting to decline. And I'm just trying to, I can feel like I almost feel like my cortisol levels are going up again because I'm just waiting for the next shoe to drop or whatever. And I don't want to be as he's managing his care. I was doing everything previously, and I've kind of stepped away from parts of it, but it's still, I work from home, so I see everything all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to kind of proactively, is there like one specific visualization that you think might be a good?
Let's talk about what the issue is more specifically. I think there might be a number of issues that you're experiencing or feelings that you're experiencing. So one might be, you know, the sadness that you've got a friend that's declining. So that's a stressful situation. But the other might be that you're in the midst of this and you've been giving and giving and giving. And while you enjoy giving, while you want to give, while it's important that you give, while there's no one else that can do the work, you know, all this kind of stuff, there's this sort of like, well, actually, I'm kind of tired, and I need to just focus on myself a little bit. And even though all these things, you know, this feeling like maybe you're forced to do it because for maybe no one's putting a gun to your head, but no one else is going to do it. And, you know, so let's talk about that one for a second. And if you can tell me which one is coming up, like if you're going to weigh them on a scale and balance them, like what are we talking about here as far as what you're experiencing?
I think at times I do get somewhat resentful because every now and then another one of his other friends will come by and take him out or do something. But it's just kind of fallen upon me, and I would never say no. Yeah. He's been my housemate for 20 plus years. And but
that's a tough situation.
Get really tired.
That you would never say no. Is it possible also? Can we just look if there's another time in your life when something like this happened? And maybe it's not exactly this, but there's a feeling or you saw maybe. Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second.
It's a pattern. It's kind of a pattern I have that I try to – a caregiver type pattern. Back in – I'd lost a lot of weight in 2011 when I had been transferred away from Maine and I was allowed to move back here and work from home. I was happy when I moved back. In 2013, my parents' house exploded, and there was a gas explosion across the street, and it was probably for about 6 months I was kind of there. I would go there during the day. Well, the insurance people were there and what have you, and then I'd go home. I'd come home, and I'd work from, like, 8 to midnight or 4 to midnight. I'd get 8 hours of work in. But that went on for about 6 months, and I had it. So it's been one situation. My ex-fiancé was
an
alcoholic.
So
the caregiver. Let's
start
with
where it came from. Did you take care of your parents? Is like you said, alcoholic. I didn't hear what you were saying.
No,
that
was my ex. That was my ex. That was my ex-fiancé. Yeah.
And your parents? Was there one that you had to take care of more than that, or wasn't? You know, like you felt like you had to be a parent. Was this your brother?
After the explosion, it was really hard on them, and it was just I just had to kind of be there.
Yeah. All right. So stay with me for a second, because I want to. That was 2011, right? That was you're talking about.
Yeah.
And how old are you now?
I just turned 50.
See, this pattern, I feel like goes back. I feel like it's just kind of coming to me intuitively, but also. You know, in working with people for a long time, this pattern, I feel like if we really looked, we could go back a lot further on this pattern. So I'm inviting you to do that with me and just see if, like, is there, you know, growing up, did you see someone else in this pattern? Like your mother, was she in this pattern? Or did you feel this pattern at any time with friends or family or where, you know, you had to do it, no one else is going to do it? Basically, the pattern is no one else is going to do it. You have to do it because no one else is going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was mostly with my family. My
mother
is
clinically
depressed. Yeah. She's always been clinically depressed. She's had a lot of health issues due to her depression. But it is kind of like if I don't do it,
nobody else is going to do it. Yeah.
Yep.
So the point I want to make for you is that what's going on for you right now with your friend while in one hand, you know, it's very real, you know, that who's going to take care of them. There's a whole story that you can't escape from. Well, maybe you can, but it seems like you can't escape from. It goes back a lot further. It's not about him. It's not just about him. It's really about something that happened, you know, in terms of possibly, as you just said, your experience with your mother and feeling unsupported yourself, possibly, because let's face it, your mother is supposed to be the one that's taking care of you when you're a little kid. You need that. That's rightfully what you're meant to have. As a child, and you didn't maybe necessarily have that, and instead you had to take care of her, and I feel like there's a wound there, and life is giving you these different situations to help you heal the wound, what's possible is that the wound is, hey, who's going to take care of me? I need to take care of, you know, who's going to take care of me? So life, it puts you in these situations where you're forced to think about somebody else to the point where it hurts, to the point where it's uncomfortable, where it's causing you stress, where it's not what you want, but no one else is going to do it. And then there's this voice, this little girl inside you that's saying, who's going to take care of me?
Right.
Does that sound right to you? Does that make sense?
Yes, it really does.
Yeah. So I want to talk to that girl. I want you to talk to that girl. I want you to be in touch with that girl, and I want you to give that girl what she needs. I want you to take care of that girl. And you taking care of that girl means, in this situation, because life's giving you an opportunity. It's not really about this situation. And if it wasn't this situation, it would be another situation you were in. But you can use this situation as an opportunity to work through this issue. At a certain point, you're like the what I would love to see, and it is uncomfortable, it's a delicate balance, is some kind of conversation around the fact that, hey, I know that, you know, this is a really tough situation, and I love you, and I'm gonna be there when I can, but right now, I need to take care of me. That's what I need. And, you know, I can come around, I can check on you, I can help you organize that other people will take care of you, but right now, I need to take care of me. And I feel like life is kind of putting you in that situation to get you to that place. And even if you can't do that right now, or even before you do that, I would love for you in your meditations and visualizations to take care of that little girl. Even if you went back in a visualization, we do this one healing technique that I think is really effective called recreating your past. Because your body always lives in the present moment, doesn't know anything about the past. So when you visualize something happening, your body doesn't know it's not real, and it thinks it's happening right now. So you can when you're doing your visualizations, you can go back to that young girl and take care of her and say, you know what, I'm going to take care of you. Maybe your mom was out there. I'm here for you. I'm always here. Yeah. So you're having this conversation. I'm always here for you, and you can relive very quickly, you know, over like a 1 minute, 2 minute period, you can relive all the significant events of your childhood and be there, rewrite them so that you're there. And you go, you know what? I'm here. I'm taking care of you. It's okay. We're gonna be okay. And if you do that leading up to this present moment, including 2011, or, you know, every significant moment leading up to now, you will feel significantly nourished and empowered to take the right course of action right now, because one course of action is to do what you're doing now, which clearly isn't right. The other course of action is a rebound effect where you go, I need to take care of me, you know, and that's, that rebound may not be right there, you know what I'm saying? But there's another course of action that's going to be right, where your boundaries are going to be really strong, but at the same time, you can be a source of support for a friend. And that's the place where you need to come to by healing this little girl inside you that says, I need to take care of, that who's going to take care of me. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. Thank you.
Cool. So that's what I would work on for now.
Great. Awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Cool. So thanks everyone. As I mentioned, you know, when I was talking to Jacqueline, that I wanted to speak to her in that in our one-on-one. We do have, this is probably the last year they're going to do one-on-one calls. So when you want to speak to me, I would suggest that you wait a month before you book your one-on-one call with me, because I want, you'll get more out of it, because then whatever's working or not working at that point, we can refine it. If we do it right now, there's just so much information. We wouldn't know what to focus on, what's working for you, what's not working for you. In a month from now, you'll say, look, I'm doing all these things. I'm probably not doing this one thing, or maybe we need to do this other thing. This is what stuck in terms of creating the healthy habits. This is what didn't. But that's really what we're trying to do, is create these healthy habits. So that's what we'll have that conversation. So you want to book that appointment in about a month from now, once you've established what's really, really working. But in the meantime, focus on creating these healthy habits. Focus on healing at every level of your body. As you can see in this very call, there were several instances where there's healing that needs to be done of an inner child, a little girl that needed help or healing, or a little boy that needs healing. There's digestive healing that needs to be done. There's nutritional healing that needs to be done. And all of these things lead to sustainable weight loss, because they take the stresses away that cause your body to hold on to weight. This is dealing with the real issues. And you can get to all those different places by doing the visualizations, by adding healthy foods, and by having healthy liquids throughout the day. Just the basic action steps that we have, they seem simple, but they really, really work, and they build on each other. As Nadia will tell you, if you ask her. As a matter of fact, let's just bring Nadia back one more time, just to make sure we've covered everything we need to cover.
Hi, John.
Hey, Nadia.
Hi.
I was just going to say, and you've experienced this too, where you have this positive momentum where it just builds over time, where you're craving healthier foods and you're learning how to cook healthier and you have more energy and you're not craving the junk food anymore, and it just gets easier and easier to be healthier and fit. This is a journey that you've experienced too. Is that right?
Oh, I really have. And it has been a journey. Like I always tell people, it didn't happen overnight. So it really is important to engage your patience and your self-love, and just add things in little by little. And that's what I did. I just added little things in as I went along. And over time, now I look back and my life is dramatically different than it was years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like night and day. And for me too. And that's what I wish for all of you. Just focus on these little things, these little ways of, you know, you find a healthy, you like crackers or whatever, and you find a healthier version of the cracker or the chip or the pizza or whatever it is. You have a breakthrough from the visualizations. All these little things that happen, they create a snowball effect. And your life, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years from now, it's night and day different than what it otherwise would be. And that's what I wish for all of you. And you can achieve that by simply taking the action steps. You can refer back to the members area as often as you want, whenever you want, and reach out to us in the Facebook group. And Nadia, I just want to thank you for all of your time and effort and wisdom. You've been a tremendous source of support for all of us. So thanks for that.
Thank you, John. And thank you for everything you've done.
And thanks also, Aaron, Geraldine, Amir, and everyone else that's helping out. We will speak to you real soon. So take care, everyone, and wishing you tremendous success. Thanks. Thanks for joining me on this Ask John call-in day. For any questions I was unable to get to in this call, I'll post my written responses in the forum for your reference. I appreciate you taking time to join me here, and I look forward to connecting again with you soon.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.